Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and State PC's preparation. A significant development in the realm of international relations, the 11th Quad Foreign Ministers meeting has just concluded in New Delhi, marking a major milestone in the quadrilateral security dialogue's evolution. The External Affairs Minister, DRS Jaishankar, hosted his counterparts from the United States, Australia, and Japan at Hyderabad House in New Delhi on 26 May 2026. This meeting was the first to be hosted under India's 2026 presidency. The Quadrilateral Security Dialogue, which originated from tsunami relief coordination efforts in 2004, was revived in November 2017 at the ASEAN sidelines in Manila. It rose to the leaders' level with the first virtual Quad Leaders Summit on 12 March 2021. During the meeting, four outcome documents were released: a joint statement, a fact sheet, an Indo-Pacific Energy Security Statement, and the Quad Critical Minerals Initiative Framework, which includes an indicative corpus of $20 billion. A new initiative, the Indo-Pacific Maritime Surveillance Collaboration, or IPMSC, was also announced. This is the Quad's first asset pooling arrangement, succeeding and augmenting the Indo-Pacific Partnership for Maritime Domain Awareness, which was launched at the Tokyo Summit on 24 May 2022. Furthermore, the Quad Fuel Security Forum is set to be hosted by the United States later in 2026, and the Ports of the Future Partnership has named Fiji as its first partner. The joint statement explicitly condemned the Pahalgam terror attack and the Bondi Beach attack, reaffirming the Quad's zero tolerance for terrorism. The statement also reaffirmed the importance of ASEAN centrality and the ASEAN outlook on the Indo-Pacific. For UPSC aspirants, this is relevant to GS Paper 2, which covers India and its neighborhood, as well as bilateral, regional, and global groupings. The Quad's evolution from a consultative dialogue to an asset pooling framework is a case study in minilateralism. The Critical Minerals Initiative is the most concrete economic deliverable yet and dovetails with India's National Critical Mineral Mission. Now, let us look at some key facts about the Quad. The first Quad meeting, often referred to as Quad 1.0, took place in 2007, following PM Shinzo Abe's Confluence of Two Seas speech in August 2007. The Quad was revived in November 2017 in Manila, and the first Leaders' Summit was held virtually on 12 March 2021. The first in-person Leaders' Summit took place on 24 September 2021 in Washington. The Indo-Pacific Partnership for Maritime Domain Awareness, or IPMDA, was launched in Tokyo on 24 May 2022. Now, let us turn to the historical context of the Prime Minister's bilaterals with his counterparts from Australia and Japan on the margins of the Quad Foreign Ministers meeting. Prime Minister Narendra Modi held back-to-back bilaterals with Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong and Japanese Foreign Minister Toshimitsu Motegi at 7, Lok Kalyan Marg. The Prime Minister's official residence was renamed 7, Lok Kalyan Marg in October 2016. India's strategic ties with both Quad partners predate the grouping. The India-Japan Special Strategic and Global Partnership was elevated by Modi and Shinzo Abe in September 2014, while the India-Australia Comprehensive Strategic Partnership was sealed on 4 June 2020 at the virtual Modi-Morrison Summit. Some key facts from these bilaterals include the India-Australia Economic Cooperation and Trade Agreement, which was signed on 2 April 2022 and came into force on 29 December 2022. The Comprehensive Economic Cooperation Agreement, or CECA, is still under negotiation. The Supply Chain Resilience Initiative, or SCRI, is a trilateral initiative between India, Japan, and Australia, launched in April 2021 and formalized in September 2021. The Mumbai-Ahmedabad High-Speed Rail Project, also known as the Bullet Train, is a 1.08 lakh crore project using Japan's Shinkansen E5 technology, with financing from the Japan International Cooperation Agency, or JICA, on soft loan terms. For UPSC aspirants, this is relevant to GS Paper 2, which covers bilateral relations. Note how the Quad acts as a force multiplier for India's bilateral architecture. The SCRI is essentially the economic spine of what the Critical Minerals Initiative now operationalizes. India's special strategic tier, which includes only Japan, and its comprehensive strategic tier, which includes Australia, France, and the UAE, among others, reveal the hierarchy of India's partnerships. Now, let us move on to a significant discovery in the field of botany. Researchers from the State Forest Research Institute in Itanagar and the CSIR NIST in Jorhat announced the rediscovery of Vaccinium piliferum, a member of the blueberry family Ericaceae, in Vijayanagar, Changlang district, Arunachal Pradesh, after 188 years. The species was first described by British botanist William Griffith in 1836 during his Mishmi Hills expedition and then disappeared from scientific record until this rediscovery near tributaries of the Noading River inside the buffer of Namdafa National Park. Only 16 individual plants were found, and the species has been assessed as endangered on the IUCN Red List. The family Ericaceae includes heaths and heathers, such as blueberry, cranberry, and rhododendron. Namdafa National Park, where the species was rediscovered, is the only protected area in the world that hosts all four big cats, the Bengal tiger, the common leopard, the snow leopard, and the clouded leopard. India is one of 17 megadiverse countries and is home to four of the world's 36 biodiversity hotspots, the Himalayas, the Indo-Burma region, the Western Ghats Sri Lanka, and the Sundaland region, which includes the Nicobar Islands. For UPSC aspirants, this is relevant to GS Paper 3, which covers conservation and biodiversity. The rediscovery of Vaccinium piliferum tests conservation policy, as the species is not currently listed in Schedule I of the Wildlife Protection Act of 1972. The rediscovery also vindicates the Eastern Himalayan biodiversity hotspot thesis. Now, let us look at the discovery of a galactic protocluster named after Loktak Lake in Manipur. Dr. Ronaldo Lashram, an India-born astrophysicist at the National Astronomical Observatory of Japan, announced the discovery of a 12.6 billion-year-old protocluster of galaxies, which he has named the Loktak protocluster, after his home lake in Manipur. The discovery was made using the Subru telescope, an 8.2-meter optical infrared telescope on Mauna Kea, Hawaii, observing light emitted during the cosmic noon when the universe was only about 1.2 billion years old. A protocluster is the ancestor of present-day galaxy clusters, with galaxies still in the process of gravitational binding. The Loktak protocluster contains dozens of star-forming galaxies in a region only a few commoving megaparsecs across. Loktak Lake, after which the protocluster is named, is the largest freshwater lake in northeast India and has been a Ramsar site since 23rd March 1990. The lake is famous for its floating fundis, or biomass islands. Kabul Lamjau National Park, which is located near the lake, is the only floating national park in the world and is the sole habitat of the endangered Sangi, also known as the Manipur broantlered deer, with only about 260 individuals remaining, according to the 2016 census. For UPSC aspirants, this is relevant to GS Paper 3, which covers science and technology, as well as awareness in space. The naming of the protocluster after Loktak Lake bridges culture and cosmology, and this discovery can be paired with India's own observational assets, such as the Giant Meterwave Radio Telescope, or GMRT, at Khodad, near Pune, operated by the National Center for Radio Astrophysics, or NCRA, and the Tata Institute of Fundamental Research, or TIFR. Now, let us turn to a significant development in the field of defense technology. The Ministry of National Defense of the Republic of Korea formally unveiled the Jangbogun nuclear-powered submarine project on 26 May 2026, named after the 9th-century Korean naval commander Jangbogo. The project has been greenlit, with the United States agreeing in October 2025 to permit fuel cycle cooperation, overcoming the long-standing constraint imposed by the ASAROK-123 agreement, which restricts uranium enrichment above 20%. The Jangbogun submarine will have a displacement of about 5,000 tons and will be powered by a low-enriched uranium, or LEU, reactor with less than 20% uranium-235. The timeline for the project includes a launch in the mid-2030s and commissioning in the late 2030s. With this project, South Korea will become the 7th nation to have nuclear-powered submarines, after the United States, Russia, the United Kingdom, France, China, and India. For UPSC aspirants, this is relevant to GS Paper 2 and GS Paper 3, which cover India and its neighborhood, as well as defense technology. Two distinctions matter here: nuclear-powered attack submarines, or SSNs, which are conventional weapon platforms, versus nuclear-powered, nuclear-armed ballistic missile submarines, or SSBNs. India's nuclear doctrine of no first use, or NFU, credible minimum deterrence, or CMD, and massive retaliation, formalized on 4 January 2003, rests on a sea-based deterrent, the SSBN leg of the triad. Now, let us look at a significant development in the field of capital markets. SEBI Chairman Tuhin Kanta Pandey announced a triad of capital market deepening measures on 26 May 2026, the expansion of bond ETFs, the introduction of corporate bond index derivatives for the first time, and a 6-to-9-month pilot on distributed ledger technology, or DLT, tokenization. India's corporate bond market is relatively shallow, at only about 18% of GDP, compared to about 120% in the United States and about 80% in South Korea. Successive committees, including the Patil Committee in 2005, the Khan Committee in 2016, and the H.R. Khan Committee in 2016, have urged the deepening of the corporate bond market. SEBI was set up under the SEBI Act of 1992, and the underlying market law is the Securities Contracts Regulation Act of 1956. The Forward Markets Commission, or FMC, was merged with SEBI on 28 September 2015. The Bharat Bond ETF, which was launched in December 2019, is India's first corporate bond ETF, managed by Edelweiss AMC. The minimum ticket size for privately placed bonds has been reduced to 10,000 from 1 lakh in October 2024. Corporate bond index derivatives are a first-of-its-kind initiative in India, allowing for the hedging of duration risk. The DLT pilot explores the tokenization of fixed-income instruments to enable fractional ownership and instant settlement. For UPSC aspirants, this is relevant to GS Paper 3, which covers the Indian economy and capital markets. Deepening the bond market is critical to financing India's 111 lakh crore national infrastructure pipeline. Banks remain the dominant credit channel, but corporate bonds can disintermediate this and reduce asset liability mismatch risk. Now, let us look at a state-level initiative to combat bribery. The Kerala Home Minister announced Project Zero on 26 May 2026, which rewards citizens who produce verified video evidence of bribery with 5,000 by the Vigilance and Anti-Corruption Bureau, or VAC. Kerala's existing vigilance manual dates back to 1969 and is being revised in tandem. The legal framework is built around the Prevention of Corruption Act, or PCA, of 1988. Which was amended in 2018 to criminalize even the giving of a bribe. At the central level, the Central Vigilance Commission, or CVC, was established in 1964 on the recommendation of the Santhanam Committee in 1962 and was made statutory via the CVC Act of 2003. For UPSC aspirants, this is relevant to GS Paper 2, which covers governance, transparency, and accountability, as well as statutory bodies. Project Zero is a state-level innovation that converts every smartphone-equipped citizen into a vigilance auditor, an evolution of crowdsourced governance. The model bears comparison with Karnataka's I Paid a Bribe portal. Now, let us look at the Quad Critical Minerals Initiative and its implications for India. The Quad Critical Minerals Initiative framework, announced during the 11th Quad Foreign Ministers meeting, includes an indicative corpus of $20 billion to de-risk supply chains for critical minerals such as lithium, cobalt, nickel, rare earths, and graphite. China currently processes about 85 to 90% of global rare earth elements and dominates lithium refining. India launched its National Critical Mineral Mission with an outlay of 16,300 crore in January 2025, following the release of the 30 mineral critical list by the Ministry of Mines in 2023. Khanij Bidesh India Ltd, or KABIL, is a joint venture between NALCO, HCL, and MECL to acquire overseas critical mineral assets, incorporated in August 2019. The Raisi district in Jammu and Kashmir has lithium reserves of about 5.9 million tons, as inferred by the Geological Survey of India in 2023. Australia holds about 52% of the global lithium supply share, while Japan and the United States bring refining and battery tech know-how to the table. For UPSC aspirants, this is relevant to GS Paper 3, which covers resources and energy security. The 30 mineral critical list includes lithium, cobalt, nickel, niobium, beryllium, and the entire rare earth elements basket. India's import dependence is structural, with domestic production accounting for less than 1% of global supply for most of these minerals. Now, let us look at a significant development in the field of defense research. The Defense Research and Development Organization, or DRDO, completed the final deliverable configuration trials of the UAV-launched precision-guided missile, or ULPGM V3, at Kurnool in Andhra Pradesh, clearing the path for mass production by industry partners. The ULPGM family was first tested in dual-mode configuration in May 2026. Mass production trials concluded with the completion of these final trials. The production partners for the ULPGM V3 include Bharat Dynamics Limited, or BDL, a defense public sector undertaking under the Ministry of Defense, and Adani Defense and Aerospace. The UAV integrator is New Space Research and Technologies, based in Bengaluru. The DRDO was founded in 1958, and the ULPGM V3 project is funded under the Innovations for Defense Excellence, or IDEX, ecosystem, which was launched in April 2018. The procurement of the ULPGM V3 fits the Buy Indian IDDM category, which is the highest priority slot under the Defense Acquisition Procedure, or DAP, of 2020. For UPSC aspirants, this is relevant to GS Paper 3, which covers defense indigenization and Atmanirbhar Bharat. The ULPGM V3 typifies India's move from licensed assembly to genuine indigenously designed, developed, and manufactured, or IDDM, capability. Finally, let us look at a significant discovery in the field of astrophysics. An international team using the Mirkaiti radio telescope in South Africa reported the detection of FRB 20240304b, a fast radio burst whose light traveled about 10 billion years before reaching Earth, making it the most distant fast radio burst on record. Fast radio bursts are millisecond pulses of radio emission first detected in 2007 by Duncan Lorimer's team. The origins of fast radio bursts remain debated, with magnetars being the leading candidate. The redshift of FRB to 0 to 40304B is approximately 2.148, indicating that the burst was emitted near the cosmic noon, when the universe was only about 3 billion years old. The Meerkat telescope is a 64-dish array in the Karoo Desert in South Africa and is a precursor to the Square Kilometer Array, or SKA. India's role in the detection of fast radio bursts includes the Giant Meterwave Radio Telescope, or GMRT, at Khodad, near Pune, operated by the National Center for Radio Astrophysics, or NCRA, and the Tata Institute of Fundamental Research, or TIFR. India became a full member of the SKA Observatory in 2024. For UPSC aspirants, this is relevant to GS Paper 3, which covers awareness in space. Fast radio bursts are a probe of the intergalactic medium and may help measure cosmological parameters. India's GMRT has independently detected fast radio bursts and characterized their dispersion measures. In conclusion, these developments highlight the significance of international cooperation, scientific discoveries, and technological advancements in shaping our world. As we move forward, it is essential to recognize the importance of these advancements and their implications for our future.